3. If you need a Bible, please do raise a hand, and someone would love to bring you one. Page 1233. Now, before Lydia comes and reads us just the opening 8 verses, I want to just share with you a little bit of what we're going to be doing. So ambitiously, over the next 12 Sunday mornings, we're going to be going through the whole book of Revelation. 22 chapters in 12 Sunday mornings. Now, I hope that doesn't put you off coming. But you may be sitting there thinking, well, why so fast, I hear you ask. Why so fast? Why are we going to do this whopping great book in just 12 Sunday mornings? Well, the reason that I've picked for us to do it this way is because it's a book, I think, that many of us avoid. It's a book that many of us are scared of. And when you get into it, understandably so. Over the next 12 Sunday mornings, we are going to get a window into heaven, and we're going to see creatures with eyes all over them. We're going to meet a dragon who wants to eat a baby. We're going to see angels who want to pour, or who have got bowls and trumpets and are pouring out judgments on the earth. We meet 4 riders on horses, different colored horses, and this stuff just like, boom, it just blows your mind. And the reason I want us to go through it so fast, to get an overview, is that it's a book that is so easy to get lost in the details. Not that the details aren't important, but it's easy to get lost in the details and therefore completely miss the usefulness and the value of this precious book for us as a church today. Think of it like this. Think of an impressionist painting. Here's one I knocked up earlier. No, only kidding. Think of an impressionist painting. So impressionist art is kind of large strokes of color, dabs of paint. Now, if we, as a church, were to stand around this picture, and we were to stand really close, let's say that we're going to look at this bit. Now, we'd all be looking at this bit together, and we'd go, oh, it's beautiful, isn't it? I wonder what it is. I wonder what it means. And we all get lost because we're looking at this tiny little stroke, and yet, if we stand back, we see the whole. And we get a feel for what it is. We feel the force of all these strokes and these dabs of color, and we get the picture that it's painting. And over the next 12 weeks, we intend to stand back from this book of Revelation. We're going to take in some of the details. We're going to meet the dragon, and we're going to meet the creatures, and we're going to meet the angels. But our intention is to stand back and feel the force of this book, to hear its sounds, to smell the smells, to feel the force of what is going on in this book and its message for us, to begin to understand why did our loving Lord Jesus give his bride, the church, such a crazy book. And so let me pray for us, and then we'll have the first 8 verses read to us, and then we'll have a look at those together. Our Father in heaven, we want to thank you this morning for this book of Revelation. Father, over these 12 Sunday mornings, would you help us to see the big picture of all that is written down in it and to be transformed by it into those who patiently endure with Jesus until his coming. And then we pray these things in his name. Amen. 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 Lydia, come and read to us those first 8 verses. Now, the first 8 verses are relatively tame. There's no dragons or anything, but we'll get to the dragons, okay? Thank you very much, Lydia.
Starting from verse 1. The revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw. That is, the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. John, to the 7 churches in the province of Asia, Grace and peace to you from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father. To him be glory and power for ever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the peoples on the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and was and who is to come, the Almighty.
Thank you. Well, as we sit with those words in front of us, let me just try and sketch out a little picture of the times in which we live, certainly as Christians. Last year, it's reported that about 365 million Christians were subjected to high levels of persecution and discrimination. And at least reported numbers say that over 5,000 of those Christians were killed for following Jesus last year. Little picture of where we're at. Think about the UK. In my lifetime, I'm 45, but in my lifetime, I have witnessed in our country church attendance drop from about 6.5 million people down to just under 3 million people just in my lifetime. And what is more, much of the church in our country at the moment, at least that has the public eye, the public ear, seems to have some voice into the public domain, that church is abandoning the authority of Scripture and is blatantly disobeying God in matters of marriage, gender, sexuality. Sadly, it's rife with abuse, and it's very greedy. That's the impression that our world is getting, our country is getting of Christianity. Living as a Christian, let's take us. You know, those are the big things out there, but let's take us. Living as a Christian is getting increasingly harder, isn't it? It's hard to know what you can and can't say in the workplace. Our children are being taught all sorts of things about how they should think, which is kind of trying to eliminate having any strong view or a religious view. Even within our congregation here, we've had Christians who've had warnings in the workplace for speaking about their faith. And that's before we start touching on other things going on in the world. Like, which of us hasn't felt a little bit nervous this week as Israel and Iran are firing missiles into each other? You know, we have the world is raging around us. Nation rises against nation. Anti-God governments and ideologies seem to have the upper hand, don't they? And it's not clear where it's all heading. You know, many of us sit here thinking, well, where's this going? You know, as a parent, I think, what's life going to be like for my children? You know, we have these uncertainties, don't we? And how in those times, if that's a little sketch, sorry if that sounds a bit doom and gloom, I know there's some good things as well, but let me just paint, that's the sketch of the times we live as Christians. How do we keep going as Christians when that's where we live? How do we keep going when we've got these pressures upon us? How do we live with all these uncertainties, thinking, well, where is this heading? You know, Jesus is described as a mighty king, but what's going on? What's happening in our world? And so I want to say to us this morning as we begin this series, in our times, we need this letter. We need the book of Revelation. Now, I call it a letter because that's exactly what it is. And we forget that about the book of Revelation. Because of the style, the content of the book, as we press into it, it's called apocalyptic literature. So it's filled with symbols and word pictures, and it's oozing with imagery. Because it's that kind of literature, we forget that fundamentally it is a letter. So you have a look with me at verse 4. John, Now, they put their names up front in a letter, which is quite useful, isn't it? You have to wait to the end sometimes to know who the letter's from. They put it right up front. Maybe that's something we could readopt into our writing. John. And it's to somebody, to the seven churches in the province of Asia. And it comes with a message, grace and peace to you. We didn't read it, but scan an eye over to verse 11. Look at what John is told to do. Write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches. To Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. People go to town with the book of Revelation and what you do with it. But fundamentally, we are meant to treat Revelation exactly the same way that you read Galatians and Ephesians and Corinthians and the other letters of the New Testament. It's a letter. And this morning, very briefly, I want us to see why Jesus gave us this letter, why we need this letter in the times that we find ourselves today. And the first reason is this. It's Revelation. Now, I know you're thinking, well, that's not clever, is it? That's just the name of the book. But look at verse 1. Let me show you what I mean. The revelation from Jesus Christ. The word revelation means to make something known that is otherwise hidden from us. It means to disclose something, to reveal something. It's where actually we get our word apocalypse from. It's the Greek word apocalypse. Now, that doesn't just allude to the style of writing. It alludes to the very fact that this book is going to show you something that otherwise you would not know. It's going to reveal something to us. This book, as we live in times uncertain, pressures without, pressures within, pulls back a curtain on things that we cannot see, but God wants to show us. And what is being revealed in this letter? Well, look on in verse 1. The revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show his servants what must soon take place. This letter is a revelation, a revealing of Jesus and what Jesus is doing in our world today and one day will do to bring this world to completion. It reveals to us the present and the future actions of Jesus. There's many ways that people read the book of Revelation. Okay, I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I'm going to unravel all of those different views over the next weeks. But one of the ways that many people treat this book is it's just all about the future. It's all about what's to come. And so we're sort of all still sitting here in Enfield waiting for it to happen. But the problem that with that view slightly is that it just doesn't make sense of verse 1, does it? This will take place soon. Here we are 2,000 years on. That is not my definition of soon. I don't know about yours. Now, you might say, oh, yes, hang on, Nathan, but to the Lord, you know, 1,000 years is like a day, and a day is like 1,000 years. But actually, remember, this is a letter. And this was written to some Christians in the first century. And he's encouraging them with something that would happen soon. Now, 2,000 years on doesn't feel like that's a very comforting message for some Christians in the first century, is it? But actually, if we understand soon to mean what Jesus starts to do in the days of those first century Christians and continues to do in our day and will one day do at the very end of time, that starts to make sense of what it means, doesn't it? That it will happen soon. It started to happen in the days of those he wrote to, and it continues to this present day. Verse 3 describes this not just as a book of revelation, but a prophecy. the prophets, Old Testament prophets. We're going to see over the weeks to come that actually the Old Testament is the grounds and the basis really for understanding this book, because it is so connected to the Old Testament prophets as they thought about the kingdom and they thought about the kind of consummation, the end of the world. The prophets often spoke of the future with an imminence in order to heighten that expectation and readiness in those who heard. And so this book, we need this letter because it's revelation. It reveals to us what otherwise we would not know. It's history revealing. It's Jesus revealing. And I don't know about you, but don't you need that? Don't you long for somebody to say, this is what's happening in our world. This is where it's all heading. That's what this book is. Revelation. And then you might legitimately ask, well, hang on a second. Isn't it just another one of the many crazy voices in our world that's predicting where everything's going? You know, is it just another Nostradamus book that's sort of making predictions about what's going to happen next year? Last month, there was a whole bunch of Instagram posts about the world ending on 8th of April. Well, here we still are. See, people make these predictions, don't they? There are so many voices. Is Revelation just another one in the mix? Another book you might pick to listen to about what's going to happen with our world? What is happening? Well, no. We need this book because it's revelation and it's from God. It's from God. Look at verse 1 and 2. The revelation from Jesus Christ. Some translations put the revelation about Jesus Christ. I don't think you need to separate them out. It's from Jesus and it's about Jesus. But the revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show his servants what must soon take place. The revelation that we're going to hear, this revealing, is from God himself. And what we'll notice is that it comes to us down a chain. God the Father gave this revelation to Jesus, his son. And if you look in verse 1, we'll see that it is then by Jesus made known to an angel, who then, verse 2, makes it known to John, who had this very difficult task of trying to write down what he sees. And when you see some of what he sees, you think, man, he did a good job, because I'm not sure I could have written down half that stuff. So John writes down what he sees, and by that means it's come to us. But if you trace that chain back, you know, we're sitting here today with this book and this letter in front of us. Where does it start? Where does it come from? From God. From God, from the Lord Jesus Christ. And from the Holy Spirit, the triune God, our God, the God we worship here every Sunday. This is from him. And why is he to be listened to? Why should you give ear over these next 12 Sundays to what he will reveal to you? Well, verse 4. Grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come. You listen to him because he's eternal. You listen to him because he exists today. He has always existed. He was. And he will exist. He is to come. But it's not just that he is to come. Notice the way it words that. It could have said, and who will be. It says he is to come because this is the eternal God who will do something. He's coming. He's going to do something in our world. We listen to him because he's eternal. Verse 8, speaking about the same God. I am the Alpha and the Omega. That's like saying I am the A to Z. That's the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I was there in the beginning and I'll be there at the end. And he's the one who has all power. As we worry about where our world is heading, we have words from the one who bookends history. As we worry about the powers that dominate our world, we have words from one who is almighty. Don't you want to listen to him? And the words from the Holy Spirit as well. Look how it goes on. So verse 4, grace and peace to you from him who was, or who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne. Now, any of you with any good antennae for Bible stuff will be going, woo, 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 hang on a second, I thought there was only one spirit, one Holy Spirit. So what's going on here? How is there seven before the throne? Well, here's your first dipping of your toe into apocalyptic literature. Okay, there's numbers. Numbers mean something, symbols. And the number seven, we're going to see it lots of times, the number seven is completeness, perfection, wholeness. And so it's not that there are seven spirits before the throne. It is that the Holy Spirit, the perfect Holy Spirit, the third member of the Trinity, is before God's throne. And this comes from him. Now, why do I say it comes from him? Well, let's scan an eye over to what we'll look at next week. Verse 10, on the Lord's day, I, John, was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice which said, write down. The Spirit is helping John to write down what we have here. And verse 5, it is from Jesus Christ. Look at that. From Jesus Christ. And Jesus is beautifully described to us in three ways. Now again, just another thing about Revelation, it works in threes, lots of triplets. You'll notice this, three, three, three. It's just the way they wrote, it's the rhythm. And Jesus is described in three ways. What's the first one? If you've got verse 5, let's wake you up a little bit. Faithful witness. Now, who do you want to talk to you in times that are uncertain and hard? You want someone who's going to tell you the truth, who's faithful. He's been given something from God the Father, and he faithfully testifies to it. He faithfully speaks about it. He's described as the firstborn from among the dead. If you're a Christian in the first century and you're living under the brutal power of Rome, and there's pressures from outside and there's pressures from inside, and all you want to do is get to the resurrection, who do you want to listen to? The one who's gone there first. The firstborn from among the dead. The one who died and rose to get us there too. What's the third thing he's described as? Anyone? The ruler of the kings of the earth. He's the one who has ultimate power over all the nations. He's in charge of all those ideologies that seem so daunting and scary. As we get twitchy here with the news this week, Jesus is the ruler of the kings of Iran. He's the ruler of the kings of Israel. He's the ruler of our king in the United Kingdom. We need this letter because it's revelation from God, the eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the one who knows, the one who has power, the one to be listened to. And we need this letter, we need this revelation, not just because it's from God, but it is for the churches. It is for us. See, look again at verse 4. John to the seven churches in the province of Asia. Now, this book originally was written down for these seven churches, which are in modern-day Turkey. You get a little peek over to verse 11, and you'll see the churches named there. Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamon, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. And as we press on into this book, you'll discover that these are churches, real churches, that were living under immense pressure. Pressures inside the church, false teaching, their own lethargy. Pressures outside of the church, the Roman Empire brutally oppressing Christians. And this church had been plagued with these things. And this letter is written to them. Now here again is the symbolism though, okay? How many churches are there? And that's a symbolic number, okay? So symbolic of the whole. So my question for you is, were there more than seven churches in Asia Minor? Yes, there were. Just read the New Testament. There were more than seven churches. But why does it pick seven? Because it's seven, because it says this is a message to the whole church. You see how the seven works? This is a message to every church down every age. This is a message to us. And who is the church? Well, look at verse, second half of verse 5. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father. Here's another triplet. Okay, you ready? Comes in threes. I won't keep telling you this, but you'll notice it. You'll start to notice it. How is the church described? How are we described here in Enfield Town? We are loved. Do you notice that? To him who loves us. You are precious to Jesus. And who are we? We are freed. We are free people. Not just talking about our rights here in our country, but we're freed from the consequences of our sins. How? By the blood he shed on the cross. And we are a kingdom. We are a people group within a people group. We are the kingdom of God within the kingdom of the United Kingdom. And the church universally, globally, is the church of God within the kingdoms of the world. We are a people who have been brought into direct access to God. That's who the church is. And that's who this letter is addressed to. You still with me? Yeah? We need this letter. Friends, we absolutely need this letter, as crazy as it may be when we get reading it. We need it because it's revelation. It's from God. It's for us. And finally, it's for our blessing. Look at verse 3. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy. And blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. Blessed are those who read aloud the words of this prophecy. Now, I want us to obey that this term, because our intention over the next 12 Sundays is to read aloud the whole book. Now, that will mean we take a slightly longer time to read. But blessed, says God, are those who read this aloud. And it says, blessed are those who hear it and take it to heart. Now, the take to heart word there is a Greek word about keeping, which really is symbolism for obedience. This book is intended to bless those who live by what it teaches, who put on the glasses of revelation to look at the world and all that is happening. Blessed are those who put on the glasses of revelation and see Jesus and what he's doing in the world. Blessed are those who obey what it teaches, to stick with Jesus. See, this is not just a book for information. Many people love the book of Revelation because it's just quirky and weird, and we love a good debate as Christians, don't we? But it's not just for our information. Do you know what this book is for? Your formation. To form us into the people that God wants us to be as we live in the times we live in. This word blessed means to be in the best of places, in the most privileged of positions. We don't use this language as Christians, but it means you're the luckiest person alive if you read the book of Revelation, because it's showing you something that you would not know otherwise. It's showing you something that will make sense of this world and who's in charge and where our world is heading. See, Revelation is not just a book to debate about with other Christians. It's not here to bamboo. You know, you're not meant to have a degree in Revelation to understand the book of what's going on here. It's not meant to bamboozle normal Christians. Actually, if we read it properly, we will be blessed as we read this book. We will be blessed. It's for our good. Now, what is that good? Well, let me summarize it like this. As we let this book capture our imaginations, as we feel the force of what it's going to show us about our world, about Jesus Christ, it will help us to patiently endure as we wait for Jesus to come again. That's how this book will bless you. It will help us to patiently endure. And so, friends, as we find ourselves in times we live in, evil raging, churches declining, false teaching dividing, unsure perhaps where everything is heading, we need this letter. Why? Because it's revelation. It reveals what you don't know. It's from God, our eternal God, no one better to listen to. It's for the churches, it's for us, for churches of every age, every generation since it was written. And it's for our blessing, to help us patiently endure with Jesus. And that's why we need this letter. Will you take it and read it and take it to heart? And this morning, if you're here and you're not yet following Jesus, then I simply want to say, please join us on these Sunday mornings and let this book reveal to you what God has to say about our world and about Jesus Christ and about how to be freed from your sins. And then join us in the blessing of this book as we follow Jesus Christ together. Let me pray for us, and then we'll come to the Lord's Supper. Our Father in heaven, as we feel the weight of our world, nations rising against nations, evil raging, anti-you ideologies just so prevalent in our culture, churches declining, increasing pressure for following Jesus. We ask, please, that you would bless to us all that this book reveals to us about Jesus and his work in our world and where this world is heading. We thank you that you are almighty, eternal God, the Alpha and the Omega. Thank you for Jesus, the faithful witness, the firstborn from among the dead, who alone guarantees our future resurrection as we persevere with him. Thank you that he is ruler over the kings of the earth, even those whose power we fear. Father, give us ears to hear what the Spirit says to the churches in these 12 weeks, and may we be those who take this message to heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Let's praise God with our song, We Declare. Let's stand and sing.